In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. This passage in our epistle lesson for this morning makes the point that the law, that is to say the Mosaic law, the Torah, is what Paul calls a ministration unto death. Why would he say that? Not because it is counter to God's will or his promises, as Paul himself would say, God forbid, but because it shows forth the depth of our own sinfulness and our inability to keep it. If St. Paul himself could not keep it, as a trained and learned Pharisee of long experience, and frankly admitted as much in words like that which I know that I should not do, I do, and that which I've gotten my mix all talked up, but you know the passage that I'm talking about, that which I would not do, I do, and that which I would do, I do not do. If he had that problem, St. Paul himself, how much could any ordinary person be expected to keep every jot and tittle of Mosaic law? Thankfully, we as Christians are not bound to do so, or more accurately, to try and fail to do so. Now, I need to pause here to clarify. As Article 7 of the Articles of Religion points out, although the law given from God by Moses as touching ceremonies and rites do not bind Christian men, nor the civil precepts thereof ought of necessity to be received in any commonwealth, yet notwithstanding, and here's the important point, no Christian man whatsoever is free from the obedience of the commandments which are called moral. No Christian man whatsoever is free from the obedience of the commandments that are called moral. But to continue, as Paul says in another place, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We are already dead, as is concerned with our own merits. We have no power in ourselves to save ourselves or to keep even the moral commandments of the law. But in Christ, we have also died to sin, and we live through faith in him. That is why Paul says that our life is hid with Christ in God. What we cannot accomplish on our own merits, Christ has accomplished on our behalf by his all-sufficient merit. His righteousness is imputed to us who have no righteousness in and of ourselves. As the confession of sin for morning and evening prayer talks about, there is no health in us. Our spiritual health, our salvation, does not come from us and from our struggles and strivings. It comes where? From God in Christ. Yes. Again, please note that this does not immunize us from striving to live according to God's will. Be ye perfect, our Lord tells us, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It doesn't mean we can slough off and say, oh, we can do anything we want to because Christ has died for us. That is not what is being said here. What it does mean is that God already knows our limitations, our imperfections, our mortal faults and failings, and has given us a way out. That is to say, through faith in his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his incarnate Word, his anointed one. Seeing us drowning in sin and death, he has thrown us a lifeline, or rather like an Air Force PJ, a pararescue jumper, or a Navy or Coast Guard rescue swimmer, he has himself jumped in and come after us. in the person of Christ to pull us out of the mire, out of the waves of sin that crash over us, out of the whirlpool that is sucking us down, and by his grace to lift us up into his own presence to live with him forever. This is the promise that God made to Abraham, that he would justify the Gentiles, the nations, indeed all the peoples of the world, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. Here is the full text from Genesis 12. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whosoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. By that word through, it is made clear that the promise did not apply only to Abraham himself, but as St. Paul points out, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The promise which was made to Abraham was fulfilled in his descendant, in his human nature, through Mary, in Christ. And in his divine nature, our Lord was and is also Abraham's seed, precisely because he fulfills and perfects the promises which were made, that not Israel alone, but all nations would be perfected in him. We seem very far from that these days, don't we? But yet, we know that that is God's promise that will ultimately come to pass. As further elaborated in Galatians 3:29, all who become one with Christ are adopted into Abraham's family and are made heirs to the inheritance of eternal life. If you belong to Christ, St. Paul writes in Galatians, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The same idea is restated in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, and for this cause he, that is Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It needs to be said again, the fulfillment of this promise is not earned by any merits that we possess, or any actions that we may undertake. It is the free gift of God by his grace, received in humility by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We, therefore, are the inheritors of the promise made to Abraham and fulfilled in its perfection in Christ our Lord. As we died to sin in him and with him and through him, both symbolized and effected in our baptism, so by his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, we live with him in eternal life. This does not mean that we are already perfect, in that we continue to sin and fall short of the perfection that is ours, but that will be fully realized in his nearer presence. But so long as we continue to have faith in him and repent us of our sins, we remain in him, redeemed, justified, and being sanctified, until that day when we are with him in fullness and perfection in paradise. In the words of St. John in his first general epistle, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? In order that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.